Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, direct sales specialist and a Christian direct seller, and I am home from Florida. I finally found my voice, and I am so excited to be with you this morning. God has such an incredible message for us today, and I'm just so glad that you're here on the call live or listening to us on the recording. You know, we've all heard crazy stories of dogs receiving millions of dollars in inheritance and homeless people who run from the police when they're trying to just tell them and inform them that they have inherited great wealth. Unbelievable, right? Well, I want you to know that regardless of what situation you're in, not calling you a dog or calling you homeless by any means, but whatever situation you're in, even if you feel like you're in a great big mess, I want you to know that God wants to turn your mess into greatness. So your great mess can be greatness. Would you like me to give you the secret to getting the best inheritance imaginable? I want to share that with you today. Would you believe it if I told you that it was tied to your business? I know, unbelievable, right? Well, it is. But before I reveal the secret to you, I want to read you a great quote. It's by Patrick Henry, one of the founders of our country. And it says, "This is all the inheritance I give to my dear family. The religion of Christ will give them one which will make them rich indeed." And isn't that the truth? That if we follow Christ with all of our heart and we make sure that we leave that inheritance for our family, that our family will have enough to be rich indeed. So we don't have to pass on earthly wealth as long as we're working on an inheritance for eternity. That's the most important thing. So I want to encourage you this morning to know that regardless of where you're at, that you can leave the most awesome, incredible, amazing inheritance for your family. But I don't want you just to leave it for your family. I want you to partake of it right now. I want to share with you Colossians 3, 23 and 24. By the way, this is my life verse. I love this verse. Ever since I was a little girl, the Lord spoke to my heart that this is what he had planned for me. And it says, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people." Can you imagine if we really did that, if we really decided that no matter what it was, we were going to work as unto the Lord and not unto men? That goes for cleaning the toilets. That goes for calling and getting bookings and appointments. That goes for inviting people to our business opportunity and sharing. That goes for mowing your lawn. That goes for everything. Let me continue reading. "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for men. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ." Isn't that powerful? Did you know that regardless of what you're doing, as long as you do it for the Lord, as if you were doing it for the Lord, you are going to have the greatest inheritance possible? I mean, wouldn't you rather have the Lord than have anything? We've all heard the song, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than fame." Can you imagine? If we just have Jesus and we do everything as if we're serving Jesus, we can have an inheritance directly from him. And I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather have my inheritance there because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He has more riches than we could ever imagine. His supply is limitless. Job 31, verse 4 says, "Does not God see my ways and count all my steps?" He sure does. So he's looking, he's watching, he knows every hair on your head. He's watching, just waiting to give you that inheritance. He can't wait to do that. Right now, I want you to think about a New Testament story. I love this story. And actually, it happened twice. And I never realized it until I was researching last night. And by the way, if you haven't seen the movie Son of God, I'm going to strongly encourage that you do that because it was powerful. And I love that there's so many Christian movies out right now. We want to make sure that we're really supporting that in the movie houses and the movie theaters. Okay, so anyways, let's get back down to our topic. Because God is watching and counting all of our steps. God wants to give us this inheritance. I want to loose upon you right now the anointing that comes from obedience. And that obedience and that anointing was on Peter and his nets, which means he was just out doing his business. It happened first when he was called by Jesus to be a fisher of men. He had been out fishing all night long. I mean, he was really good at it. He was one of the few people that had a good fishing boat. And he had buddies that would help him. And he went out and he fished all night. And back then, they weren't just fishing with a fishing rod. They would throw out big, strong nets. And then they would wait a while, wait till the fish would get all by the nets, and they'd pull them in. And they would pull in massive amounts of fish. And that's how it normally went. Well, this night, it was a bummer night. He wasn't catching anything. I don't know if you guys have ever felt that way before, but I know I've worked my business at times and just thought, boy, I'm just out there prospecting and prospecting, and I'm inviting, and I'm just not getting anything. So he was frustrated, and he just was calling it a night, and he just thought, you know what, I'm going to try another day. Well, Jesus just happened to be on the shore, and he walked out, and he talked to Peter, and he said, you know what, let me into your boat. And he's like, you know what, you're a stranger. Why would I let you in my boat? Well, Jesus persisted, and I'm sure that he looked into Peter's eyes, and Peter thought, well, okay, there's something else here. So he went out, and as he pulled away from the shore, Jesus said, you know what, I want you to drop your nets. And he told him nets, right? He wanted to give him an abundant supply of fish. And Peter said, you know what, I did this already. I did this all night. This is my job. I know what I'm doing. And I didn't catch a thing. But, and I'm sure Jesus gave him the look, and we all know what look that is, because we give it to our kids, or we give it to our husbands, or we give it to our wives. And Peter said, okay, I'll drop my net, one net, just to appease you, and I'm going to drop it. But then after that, we're done. I'm going in. I'm going to sleep. I've been out fishing all night. People don't catch fish this time of day. So, you know, kind of just get off my back kind of thing. So he let one net down in obedience. And I don't, from the sounds of it, when I read the word, it doesn't even sound like it was joyful obedience. And what happened is all of a sudden these fish filled his net, so much so that he needed to call over help from his buddies just to get the one net back into the ship. And believe it or not, the net didn't break at all. And we know that this type of net would break all of the time. You know, they were always fixing the net and retying the knots. But it didn't break this time. They pulled in so much fish from one net. And remember, Jesus told them to drop out nets, more than one, that it nearly sank his boat. He did that because when we obey Jesus, when Jesus tells us what to do and we obey him, there's a special anointing on our life. And I don't know about you, but there's been many a times in my life, and I'm not proud to say this, but I'm just being honest, and I've repented of this, and I've tried to be more obedient. But there were times in my life when Jesus told me to do something, and I sat and I argued with him, probably just like Peter did, and said, really, Lord, you know, I already did that. Or that will never work, because you know what, that just isn't how it's done. How many times have I missed out on the blessing? Or, I want to encourage you, there's also been times when I've obeyed. And I did throw my net out, but I did it kind of begrudgingly, I'm sure like Peter did, like, half doubting, like, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey, but this makes no sense to me. And he had blessed the socks off me. And he tells us that he wants to work in and through us abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine in Ephesians 3:20. Can you imagine if we really obeyed to the extent that he wanted us to obey? How powerful that could be. Well, I want to read in John 21, because this happened when Jesus had already died and was risen from the dead. This is when he appeared to seven disciples. This is later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, you know, I'm going fishing. Well, come too, they all said. So they went out into the boat, but they caught nothing all night long. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Hey guys, fellas, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Well, throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." They were smarter this time, so they did. But what happened is they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved, that's John, and of course he's writing this, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped down for work. He jumped into the water and he headed to the shore. The others stayed in the boat and they pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were out about 100 yards from the shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish, cooking over a charcoal fire with some bread. "Bring some of the fish that you just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and he dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net had not torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish, and this was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. Now, I want to stop for a second before I finish reading the story. I mean, they had been fishing all night long. They didn't have any fish. All of a sudden, some guy from the shore says, "Hey, have you caught any fish? Now come have some breakfast." They realized it was Jesus. He had fish already. He had bread, and he was making them breakfast. I love when somebody makes me breakfast. It wasn't breakfast in bed for them, but it was breakfast on shore, and it was by the risen Lord. Can you imagine Jesus caring so much, wanting to reward your obedience with so much from the work he did in your business and your obedience, that he's going to not only make you catch 153 fish, large fish, which was humongous that they couldn't even carry them all in. They had to drag them. But he cared so much about their equipment. He didn't even have this abundance, which would normally have just, shred their nets. He cared so much about their tools, didn't want them to have to redo the nets, that he said, you know what? He wanted to honor them, honor their obedience. He was going to make them breakfast. He also was showing here that he wants us to minister in the marketplace. He wants us to be out and about doing our work on an everyday basis and doing it for him, being obedient for him. But how cool is this, that he kept showing up after he had been, he died and raised from the dead. After breakfast, so he still wants to sit out and chat with them. Look at all of these components and apply these to your business. I just get so excited with this. I just imagine myself sitting there on the shore. I love the beach, by the way. And I love fish. I love fish, especially over fire. It's so awesome. So I'm just thinking, I'm just sitting there with Jesus, just like I would be with the disciples. And after breakfast, going back to verse 15, Jesus asked Simon Peter, he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" We know Peter thought, I mean, he was really passionate. I can really identify with him a lot of times. He was always engaged in his mouth before he engaged his head. And I just always, like, I'm so passionate and I'm so in love with Jesus that I know I'd be the same way. So he's asking him, do you love me more than these guys here? Of course he's going to jump in and say, "Yes, I love you with all my heart." He says, "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." Now, I also want to bring up another point. He had denied Jesus 3 times when Jesus needed him most. When Jesus was being crucified and tried, they asked him, "Do you know Jesus?" And he said, "No." It nearly crushed Peter, I'm sure. I can't imagine the devastation in his heart. So if you've ever denied Jesus, I want you to know, maybe you're not in your walk with him at the place where he would like you to be or you would like to be. It's okay. Today is a new day. You can love Jesus with all your heart today. Just ask his forgiveness. Repent. He came. Jesus came back after he rose from the dead purposely to talk to Peter on his own. And he let him know that he loved him. But here again, he showed up. This is the third time to the disciples. And he said, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord. You know I love you." Peter was never going to make that mistake of denying Christ again. Then listen to this. Jesus told him, "Then feed my lambs." Did he have sheep? No, he was referring here to the new believers. The new believers, the lambs, the baby sheep. Jesus tells us that he's the good shepherd. He would shepherd the sheep. But here he's specific. He says, my lambs, those are the baby sheep, right? Well, Jesus repeated the question in verse 16. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Now this time, listen, he says, then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. And a third time. Now, do you think it's any coincidence? Do you think that Jesus needed to get clarification on this? Like, do you love me, Peter? No. But what he was doing, he was saying, just like you denied me three times, I want to hear you love me because I know you love me. I don't need to hear it. I know you love me. But I want you to be able to tell me how much you love me. It's important to you. And I want to tell you what I want you to do next, how you can serve me to the best of anyone's ability. First was then feed my lambs. Secondly, he said, take care of my sheep. So we feed the lambs with the word, right? That's our spiritual food. We take care of the sheep by shepherding them, pastoring them, discipling them, helping them grow. And the third time he asks them, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Well, here we go with Peter again. He says Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. I'm sure that in his own mind he was remembering the three times he had denied Jesus. And I'm sure he was also a little confused. Why are you asking me this? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Please don't doubt me. And then Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Do you know God chose you to do the exact same thing? And you can do it and walk this out every day in your business. John 15, 16 says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. That's Jesus talking. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is another message from Jesus. Jesus chose you. He chose your business as the vehicle that you have right now. And he appointed you. He anointed you. He gave you that position and that responsibility to go and produce lasting fruit. Not just a little bit of fruit, not just a little tiny bit, but lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. So you can have as an inheritance anything that you ask for. He's given you that power already. What are you doing with it? Again, he wants to turn your great mess into greatness. Psalm 1 says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Do you read your word? Do you think about it in the morning when you get up? Do you think about it all day long? Do you think about it before you go to bed? They delight in the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They're like trees planted along a river bank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. God wants to bless you. He wants you to have fruit all year long, not just in the fall selling season with your business, but all year long. There's never a reason to have a slow season. When I figured that out, because I bought into the lies of my company and my leaders and my team that said, you can't do parties, a lot of parties in December. January's a bad month. June's a bad month. Nobody schedules parties in July. I thought, you know what? I'm going to see if I can break that. I'm going to just challenge it and see what can I do. I had a consistent business every single month. Don't buy into the lies of the enemy. God tells us here that he wants you to be planted along the riverbank so that you can put your deep roots deep into his water, into his nutrients, and bear fruit. And when we bear fruit, it's not just like we're a stalk or we're a plant and we bear one piece of fruit. He said a tree because he wants to bless you to give fruit exponentially to other people. I want you to think about a great big apple tree or a peach tree. I used to love that when we lived in Michigan to go and pick peaches or pick apples. there wasn't from one seed that was planted one apple. There were hundreds, sometimes thousands. Same thing. That's what God wants to do. But he wants to do it in every season. He doesn't want us to ever feel like we're exhausted or withered. It tells us in verse 3 that he will prosper us in all that we do. Psalm 37:18 says, "The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." What is our inheritance? How do we get it? We get it by seeking the Lord. We get it from serving and doing everything that we're doing as if we were doing it unto the Lord and not unto men. And you will have your inheritance forever. Here on this earth, right now, this minute, if you would hang up the phone as soon as we're done and you started working in your business as if you were doing it as to the Lord and not unto men, I'm sure you will see a huge difference and a huge change. And you'll have your inheritance now, even starting today, and it'll last through eternity. Don't be discouraged if you don't see your inheritance right now, though. I want to encourage you with that. Because some of us, we have to wait, because there is a seed time and harvest. Acts 26:18 says, "That you may receive the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in Christ." We have to have our faith in Christ. Sometimes faith is doing things and believing for things that we do not see. But we know we have it. It's kind of like our title deed. It's on its way. The Lord's given us the inheritance because he's promised it to us. Galatians 3:18 says, "God gave the inheritance to Abraham by promise." What promise has God given you about your business? I don't know what it is. Is it that you would win a trip and actually earn a trip and be able to go and maybe share gospel wherever you go out of this country? Is it that you'd have a large team that you're influencing? Is it that you will raise funds and bless the gospel and further the kingdom? Is it that you'll speak in front of stadiums? I'm not sure what it is, what the promise is that he's given you. But just like Abraham, he's faithful to fulfill it. He's given you the inheritance by promise. What about the promise for your life? I want you to walk in your inheritance today. Again, I want to read Colossians 3:23 and 24. And encourage you with that. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for man or for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you're serving is Christ. That's the secret. Well, I don't know if any of you have prayer requests today, but I'm going to unmute for just a quick second here before we walk into prayer with the Lord. And if you've got a prayer request, I'd love to be able to take that and pray for you this week. So anybody?
Hey, Becky.
Yes.
Hi, this is Edwina.
Hi, Edwina.
How are you?
I'm great.
I'm good. I just need prayer again for my family. My son's situation is possibly going to be sitting on the judge's desk this weekend. We're just asking for favor.
Okay. Yeah. He's got it.
Hi, Becky. It's Katie. I would just like a prayer request for my fiance and I as we prepare to sell our house.
Okay. You've got it. We're going to pray that it'll sell quickly and that the perfect buyer will put the bid in.
Thank you.
Yes.
Becky, since I'm selling my house, you can pray that same prayer for me.
Okay, will do.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm going to be selling my house, so we're going to all be in the same place. So.
Well, we will pray for you, Becky.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I know we've got so many people that have this flu that's going around the country right now, so I'm going to be praying for that as well. Anybody else? Because I know that we've just got about 5 minutes left to pray. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much that you love us. And you give us all your secrets. You tell us exactly what you want us to do. And it's not because you are a God that wants to have us under your thumb, but because you love us so much, you want to say, hey, this is the way. It's easy. Take my yoke. If you do it this way, it's easy and it's rewarding and it's fulfilling for you. So, Lord, I thank you for your instruction today. I thank you for our inheritance, that we don't have to wait on someone to pass or someone to create a large amount of wealth that you have promised to be our inheritance and us yours. And Lord, that you want to give us everything. And all you ask is that we do everything as if we were doing it for you. And in essence, we truly are. Lord, I thank you that you gave me that revelation and that knowledge as a young child. I can still remember you revealing that to me when I was just 6 years old and how important that was, and I knew how important it would be for the rest of my life. Lord, I thank you for that, and I thank you that I was able to share that with so many today. Lord, I thank you for the inheritance that you are giving us. I thank you that you do give us the ability to create wealth, but even more so than that, that you've given us the inheritance that we can enjoy here as well as through eternity. And Lord, just like Patrick Henry said, that if we give our faith, if we give our religion of Christ to our family, that they're going to be rich indeed. Lord, we pray right now for all of those in our family that are not saved or not serving you with their whole heart. Lord, I ask that you would send godly men and women to speak into their life, that you would chase them down like you tell us you'll do in the Word, and that you will speak and bring them in and woo them as the gentleman you are, Lord, because you know we want to bring our loved ones, the people that we care about most, to the kingdom with us, Lord. And we know that you would have none perish. So we come to you boldly on their behalf, and we ask for their salvation, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that you do give us the ability to obey. And when we do obey your word and we obey what you tell us, Lord, that we can have that anointing of obedience just like Peter had when he threw the nets out and so many fish came. And that it wasn't just that you did it when you called him to be a fisher of men, but when you reminded him again after your resurrection, when he was there with the 7 other disciples, Lord, when you made him breakfast, and said, if you love me, you're going to feed my lambs. You're going to care for my sheep, and you're going to feed my sheep. Lord, help us to be faithful with that. Thank you for the platform that you've given us with our businesses that we could do that, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name that you will bless each and every company represented, each and every team, every downline, every upline, every leader that's represented, every consultant that's represented, Lord, each customer and host, that they would be blessed because they're working with these mighty men and women of God. And, Lord, you know we've got so much on our hearts right now. This is such an amazing time. I know that you're coming back for a victorious bride, Lord. And, Lord, we are going to step into, I believe with all of my heart, the greatest time that any believer has ever known since the history and the foundations of the earth. And, Lord, I thank you that you're preparing us right now to walk into that we understand that we do everything as unto you, and that you will plant us like a tree planted by the riverbank so that we can give fruit to others, that will provide them with hope and healing and restoration and the keys to the kingdom. Lord, I pray that you will be with those that are suffering with the flu. You tell us in your word that by your wounds we are healed. All we have to do is receive that as a free gift. And Lord, I pray that you will help each one of us to receive the healing that you already paid for. Now, in Jesus' name, I ask that voices would be strengthened, that throats would be healed, that all of our mucous membranes line up, that our digestive tracts work properly, that every cell come into alignment according to your perfect creation. We thank you for the healing in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for that, because it also tells us, we read that earlier, that whatever we ask for in your name, Lord, that that's part of our inheritance, according to John 15:16. We're asking in Jesus' name that bodies be healed now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, you know the situation that Edwina is facing with her son, and we know that it could possibly be that this week is the week that the paperwork is sitting on the judge's desk. We're asking for favor. Lord, we also know that there are many others that might be going through legal issues as well. We ask favor in Jesus' name. We ask for repentant hearts on those that have maybe done wrong. Lord, I pray that truth would be found, and that this would be one of those life-changing moments in their life where they realize that they need to follow you with their whole heart, and they do so with such vigor and excitement. And Lord, you know that Edwina and Katie and myself, that we're all getting ready to sell our homes. Lord, we ask that right now you would prepare the finances for the buyers, and favor would go out, Lord, before each of us as we move into our new homes, that the perfect home would be selected. And, Lord, that we would just know, and we would use these homes to build your kingdom, that they would be a place of peace and a haven and a place of rest and maybe instruction and small groups or whatever you would like to do to use our homes, Lord. Even just having it be the headquarters for our business that we dedicate to you, Lord, to bring in more souls and to further your kingdom. Lord, I ask that you would send favor, that the right buyers would come. We don't need to have a lot of people come and show the house a million times, always been under that stress of having it be perfect all the time, Lord. But that just right away, the first people would come and just be the right buyers. It would be simple. It would be easy. That their financing would go through. It would be for the right amount, Lord. And Lord, I ask that new financing or being able to pay for the next home would be something that you would just approve and make go smoothly and easily, Lord. We thank you for this. We thank you for the blessing of obedience on each and every person that's on this call or listening to the recording. Help us to obey with our whole hearts, Lord. And we say right now that we do love you, just like Peter. And we gladly have you ask us time and time again. When you say, do you love us? We can crawl up in your lap and give you a hug and worship you and just say, yes, Lord, I love you. But we also know that there's a charge that goes with that. And the charge is that we love your lambs. We feed them. We feed your sheep. We love your sheep. Help us to be faithful with those that you've given us in our care and our discipleship. We love you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. And we thank you for a magnificent, profitable, amazing week. And we can't wait to share a testimony of how you have started the inheritance even today in our lives because of our obedience and doing everything as if we were doing it for you. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We give you all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, have a great week, everybody, and start posting your prayer requests or your prayer requests as well as your praises onto the Christian Direct Seller, because I know God's going to do something mighty. As I was preparing the message yesterday, he just kept dropping verse after verse into my heart, and he just kept showing me that he's got a miracle just waiting for you, and that if you do what he has said to do today, that he's got something supernatural waiting for you. So I can't wait to celebrate with you. I can't wait to praise the Lord when we see these things happening in your life and in your business. God bless you guys, and I'll talk with you next week. Bye now.
Bye.